I certainly would say do whatever it is that stirs your soul, regardless of what anybody else thinks, because people are always going to have an opinion about everything and anything that you do. And the only opinion that really matters is yours. And everyone else will adjust. You know, I had a lot of people question, you know, you've got this PhD lined up. Who would leave that? And then I had a lot of people support. But at the end of the day, I was like, I would leave that. You know, and it wasn't a willy-nilly easy decision. It certainly took a lot of thought, but gosh, I could have saved so much time if I would have just operated on what I knew was right for me.
Welcome to The Cubicle Revolution. This is a podcast about finding another way. It's about redefining success, finding the courage to follow that inner whisper, and creating a career path that speaks wildly to the deepest parts of your soul. For the successful but unfulfilled, the yearning but bored, the stressed out, over-caffeinated, desperate for more kind of person. If you're wondering how you got here and how to get out, put your headphones on and press play. I'm your host, Candace Carlton. Let's get started. Marjan Kusha is a gorgeous friend of mine who's a fellow yogi and current med student. She has a vision bigger than herself that drives her to have made really amazing and really big decisions for her life and career. I'm constantly inspired by her. I was excited to interview her because she's really living it. She's in the middle of creating her own path, another way. She's given up the predictable and safe path that she was on to pursue what she describes as her calling to change the medical profession. She is someone who I get inspiration from all the time. And if you've ever pondered up giving your steady income to become a student again, this is for you. If you love this episode, please share it with your friends and subscribe for even more goodness from the Cubicle Revolution podcast.
So for everyone that's listening, I think we've had some version of this conversation, Marjan and I, but not the full version. So we're going to be having it live. When we met, you were contemplating med school because you were doing what?
So I was teaching actually at Orange Coast College after I got my master's at UCI, and I was sort of teetering between going to med school or continuing on the teaching route.
And med school was kind of a little bit of a big, was it like a big change in vision and career pathing from what you thought you were going to do?
Yes, it was. And the reason for that is because, you know, when you're in graduate school, everything's already taken care of financially. So your tuition is paid for, you're earning an income, not a great income, but you're earning an income. And I was sort of set on this path, and I'd taken all the steps for this particular path of going on and earning a PhD and maybe at some point down the line going to med school. But then to have completely switch that around and to go to the medical school and to incur a bunch of debt, you know, and to not get paid and to start from scratch, basically, you know, whereas I was teaching before, now I'm completely learning. It was a very, very, very stark contrast to what I was used to and what I was doing.
So, I mean, it's a huge amount of debt that you go into, but I think you had once told me, I'd rather be in debt doing what I love.
Absolutely.
Then not do it.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if I shared this with you, but I believe Kaiser has opened its own medical school or is on the path to doing that. And there's New York University Medical School that's been funding its med students, the students that come in and matriculate. So their tuition is paid for fully. So it's like, I think people are catching on that, like, it's important to maybe not have students be in debt as much as they are, but absolutely the debt is completely worth it for the end product.
But also, like, you're going to handle it responsibly. I think that was a decision that you made.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So I guess the question is, you're going along, you're a professor, you're earning money, everything's paid for. Like, med school is crazy. So, like, why'd you do it? Like, what was it?
Yeah, so, you know, I went to grad school because I had just an inherent interest in science. Nothing specific, but just science and biology. And I think I would say more so the life sciences, the physiology, the anatomy. And I felt I could make an impact that way. And I felt that I was making an impact through mentorship, through, you know, the adjunct professor opportunities that I was given. Even through being a TA at, you know, a very prestigious university, But I don't know. I mean, just something sort of happened, you know, in my mind and in the whole process of being a grad student, where I realized, no, I can make an even bigger impact as a physician, because the way that healthcare stands today in the United States is that we're really not in the best of places.
To say it lightly. Yeah.
Yeah, compared to the rest of the world, certainly. And where we are in medicine is that we're sort of putting a Band-Aid on all sorts of problems. And what I realized that I could really do is, let's not take that approach. I'd like to enroll other people in my vision of what can we do to prevent everything from ensuing the way that it is. What can we do to take better care of med students? What can we do to take better care of patients? And I realized that this impact was much more worth it to me, even for the sacrifice in the long run, than it was to continue in grad school and make an impact that way, of course, like through scientific discovery or, you know, what have you, or even in the mentorship that I got to do with all the students.
Yeah, and I think that I'll really have to introduce you like that at the beginning, that really your mission is, from what I understand it, is a radical one. And there are people with that similar vision who are your peers or probably maybe even a few steps ahead. And in that vein of like combining Eastern and Western, really focusing on wellness and prevention versus just like giving us medication and antidepressants. Sorry, that's probably not.
I know. No, I mean, you're preaching to the choir. I see it all the time. And it's unfortunate. And it's the reality that you kind of get suckered into. But that's why people like me exist, where we're like, okay, no, something needs to be done, you know, for the well-being of patients and for the well-being of the practitioners as well.
So it sounds like you have like a really big vision that doesn't just include you, but it's like for other people. Where did that come from?
I think I've sort of always been like, I've always loved people. That's one thing that, you know, I went to med school and I started to question that a little bit. Actually, I questioned it a lot, to be honest.
Why?
You know, like, because, you know, you get jaded in the process. You get so run down emotionally, mentally, physically even, that you're like, forget people. Like, I'm not doing well myself right now.
Yeah.
But I've always just had such a profound love for people and for humanity. And I just was
called. But what does that mean? What does that mean?
For me, it's like things don't have to be this way.
Yeah.
People don't have to suffer.
Right.
You know, especially when they have a lot of control over their own physical state. And people think that they don't. And even I sometimes think that I don't. But the biggest part was I didn't want the way that healthcare is today to continue. And I knew that it's sort of like, you know, in Landmark, where people are like, somebody should do something about this. You know, I was sort of there, like, someone should really do something about this, you know? And I was like, well, why not me? You know? And it's a big game to play, but it's like, just I've always consistently through everything I've done in my life, I've always been drawn to, no, this is the direction that why am I resisting this? It's probably because it's such a big vision. And I didn't necessarily want to be the one to take it on, but here I am. But just everything in life has clued me into, this is where you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be with people. You're supposed to be healing people.
Okay. So I have some big questions about that. But before that, I just wanted to say, like, Landmark, you can check it out. We mentioned it, Landmark Worldwide. That's where Marjan and I met. It's these profound weekends that you can't quite explain. I didn't even know what it was when I went to the first one, and I was profoundly moved by everyone in it. So if you are looking for an experience like none other to really kickstart your life, I feel like we're selling it now, but seriously, it's cool. You can ask us about it, but we're diverging back to it. It's diverging back. So it's interesting because when I think about myself, I've always thought like I'm meant to be doing something different from what I was doing in my initial career. Like, it was just a sense. It was like a dissatisfaction. It was just like a knowing, right? But right. I didn't know exactly what it was. And I had to fumble around for like a long time. And I mean, arguably one is still fumbling now, just a little bit more gracefully. And so I found my area and I was like, I am the connector. I'm the communicator. My job is to help people connect to the story and to their truths, to their own truths, you know, universally. Mm-hmm. Talk to us a little bit about how you knew or when you knew or what it was when you were like, it's medicine for me and I don't want people to suffer. Like, was it a personal story? What was it? Was it just a knowing one day?
Well, there's so many instances I can recall. I mean, I'm definitely an empath, which is, you know, it's a great characteristic to have, but it's also a little bit, you know, debilitating at times. And certainly it's something that can serve you well in this field. And certainly it's something that can really be a detriment. But there's just been so many instances. I mean, I was in yoga and I was practicing and I noticed this woman, you know, and she just had this very magnetic energy about her. And this was actually at the yoga studio you and I used to practice at in Laguna. Anyway, so she pulled me aside after class and, you know, she's like, are you an intuitive person? You know, are you like a healer?
Yeah.
And I was like, what are you talking about? You know, it was one of the weirdest moments of my life. And I was like, I think so. I don't know what made you think that. And
she's like,
I get that sense from you. And she said that she was a nurse and her husband was a physician and she's an intuitive woman and she does readings and all this stuff. And I was like, well, I don't know about that, but I certainly am drawn to the position of being a healer. And so there was that, Candace, and there was also many, many instances in Forum and in the landmark courses that I'd taken where I was like, gosh, like, there's something about this. I knew in the back of my mind it would be the most challenging undertaking for me.
And but yet, was it just like a knowing? It was like, this is
it was a knowing. It's hard to explain. Like, I could put all the, you know, I want to be a doctor to help people and know all the things.
Yeah, but say, it was just a knowing. I think that's the most fascinating. We all have it. It's just that often we don't want to listen to it.
No. Well, and I think a big part of it is it's very, very confronting and scary, you know? Especially if you have an idea of the fact that what you're out to do and accomplish is so much bigger than you can fully conceive.
What was that journey like, just like high level, what did it look like? Was it straight and narrow? Was it, because I have a sense then of like, people think, well, they now know it should be easy, but it's really not usually.
No, certainly. I knew I wanted to be a doctor since I can remember. I mean, I thought I wanted to be an actress. I really did for a very long time.
So did I. I was going to be a movie star. Never mind an actress.
I did too. And I still to this day, I'm like, that could have been an interesting thing. But a big part of the process is, I mean, the entire process leading up to med school is really a test of resilience. And this is why, you know, I don't want to get into it right this moment because you asked me a different question, but this is why it's so important to take care of people in this process, you know, even before they sign up for pretty much spending 4 years doing nothing but work. But basically the process looks like you apply, you pay to apply to a series of different universities based on your, you know, your ranking. So your undergrad GPA, your MCAT score, and, you know, the MCAT is a beast in and of itself, 7.5-hour exam on various different studies. You know, I like to say it's kind of like an ocean of information that's like very, very, very shallow. You know, so you have to have a surface level understanding, like puddle deep, but it's a lot of info. So it's really being able to take that on, do well on that exam, and that exam has you go through all sorts of emotions. So does the process, you know, once you check that box, okay, that's done. Now there's another hoop to jump through. Now there's interviews. Okay, now what impression am I going to make? They have this, you know, they have this understanding of me that's limited by what I can express in one page.
Right.
What can I do to make a lasting impression? And, you know, is this school that I am meeting with and interviewing with a good fit for me? You know, and a lot of people will be like, I'll go anywhere, they'll take me. For me, it wasn't like that. For me, it was, I'll go where I feel like I belong. And I even said, in fact, in my interview at Western, I was like, this is where I want to be. And I'm decided about it.
I mean, isn't that so interesting, that sense of belonging? I was looking at some master's programs, and then I looked at this one school, and all of a sudden, everything about them, the way they presented their information, the way they spoke, everything was so more modern and like liberal. And I was like, oh, this is it. There's just a sense about it. You're like, this is where I belong. But as you're going through this process, was there a time where you were like, oh my God, what the F am I doing? I'm out.
Oh, daily. I mean, it's daily. I mean, daily then when I was like, gosh, like throwing thousands of dollars at this, you know, I am throwing thousands of dollars at becoming something, someone that is going to serve the larger community. You know, I was like, you have to be mad to do that. But I did it, you know, and I'm so glad I did. And on a daily basis, I mean, on a daily basis, you really do forego a lot of sleep, and, you know, you really do deal with a lot of significant stress to a degree that I don't think, you know, someone that hasn't been through it could fully appreciate. You know, and in retrospect, there's so many physicians I've spoken with that have said, if I could go back, I wouldn't do it. So there's that side of it. But then there's the, you know, there's the sense of just sheer fulfillment that you get when you get something right, you figure something out, you're able to perform beyond your wildest expectations. I mean, I would never have imagined that I could take in this much information and be able to not just regurgitate, but apply it to really conceptualize and understand it on a deeper level. And the impact you make on people. I mean, when I hear from patients or standardized patients, like, you really are someone that I feel comfortable with and trust, I'm like, that's perfect. I'm going to write that down in my journal of accomplishments, because that's a win
for me. That's what you're going to do. Okay. So I've got some important questions for you. Are you ready?
Sure.
So what I'm really hearing is, first of all, like, even though it's like, this is what you know you're meant to be doing, it ain't easy.
Correct.
So do you think this is your purpose?
I think this is a vehicle by which I can achieve my purpose.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that there were many ways in which I could do that. And I think this is absolutely the best way for me to fulfill on what I'm supposed to fulfill on in this life, if that makes sense.
Yes, it totally makes sense. Do you think your work has to be your purpose, or do you think it's always a vehicle?
That is a very, very good question. I think it's a vehicle. Mm. You know, I think in a very similar but different manner with the acting, I was like, I want to bring joy and entertainment to people's lives. I think it's definitely a means by which you can express what it is you're supposed to be doing. What it is that really, you know, yeah, serves the purpose, you know, serves. Yeah.
Well, because I know, I think it's Eckhart Tolle who talks about your job is to be a demonstration of love. Doesn't matter what you're doing, you know, pumping Absolutely. Gas, you can make people's day. Like, it's all about that. What is your practice to connect with whatever you call it, your intuition, your gut, your inner GPS, your higher self, that sense of knowing? And what do you call it, and what's your practice, if you have one?
I think the closest thing I've gotten to that would be like my yoga practice. And I'm an Ashtangi, like, by all intents and purposes. It's a very disciplined practice, as you know. And there's been so many times in Ashtanga where I've been like just very connected to who I am for the world. Mm. And really only ever when I get that sense of quiet calm, which is not, you know, something I take for granted these days, is when I feel fully connected to that. Now, I really derive a lot of my willpower to continue on this journey through what people see in me. So I have so many, you know, friends and family and supporters, and even random people, like I said, that woman that I encountered, that are like, yeah, this is, I could see this, they exist about you, or even the patients, you know. And I really use that as, you know, not motivation, more like inspiration. To continue down the road. Yeah.
So if someone is in a job that they hate and they have a calling to do something different, maybe med school, something radical that requires not just small shifts, but a big shifts. What's your best piece of advice for them?
Well, I mean, I certainly would say do whatever it is that stirs your soul, regardless of what anybody else thinks, because people are always going to have an opinion about everything and anything that you do. And the only opinion that really matters is yours. And everyone else will adjust. You know, I had a lot of people question, you know, you've got this PhD lined up. Who would leave that? And then I had a lot of people support. But at the end of the day, I was like, I would leave that, you know, and it wasn't a willy-nilly easy decision. It certainly took a lot of thought, but gosh, I could have saved so much time if I would have just operated on what I knew was right for me from the get-go.
Because why do we question it?
I think it's fear-based. I think for me, the biggest thing was don't apply to med school. You might not get in. Mm-hmm. And what's that going to look like? But then once you get past that, which you may not even get past, I mean, really, I've really done so many things that I was like paralyzed with fear and did anyway. This was one of those things. So I'd say if someone's unhappy with where they are, they don't have to remain there. Now, it's simple, but it requires, you know, it requires something on your part.
Yeah.
So it's not easy.
It's not easy and you can do it. I was just reading, I don't know, have you read Mel Robbins' latest book?
No.
It's so good. You have to read it. And she talks about you build your life one Lego block at a time. Just move one block at a time. Doesn't have to be a significant block because there are tons of blocks. You just got to move blocks.
I love that.
I know. It's a great book. We're talking about finding another way. I mean, you're certainly finding another way and doing it with like just joy and courage and tenacity. Is there anything else you want to say about that, about finding another way, anything you've learned?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. One thing that I've learned is that this isn't the end of the road for me, that I'm still going to be in the pursuit of transforming this field and just making an even bigger transformation, like I'd shared with you. There's a physician that had, I don't know if you saw the video that I posted on my Facebook. He'd spoken about, you know, what's broken about the system. And I think for me, the bigger overarching picture is let's do something. Like here I am wanting to fulfill on this as well. So that was just a side note. But I think for anyone that's interested in taking on something that's as demanding and rigorous as a career in medicine, one thing to never lose sight of is the importance of your own well-being. And that's something that I've come up against time and again. And every time I have, you know, been stingy regarding my own well-being, what I need to do to take care of myself, it's translated poorly, whether it be in my mood, whether it be in my grades, even in my own physical health. And if I'm going to be a person that's going to represent, you know, this is how a lifestyle, this is how you lead a healthy lifestyle, I need to be a proper example of that. And that starts with me. And I'd also say that, you know, whatever the fear is, completely acknowledge the fear because it's not going to go anywhere. In fact, it is always looming in the background with me. And yet just do it anyway. It's really something I've taken on in all aspects of my life.
I love that. So it's like face the fear. Your fear, you put it in the back seat. Hi, I know you're there. You're not in the front seat anymore. That's what Elizabeth Gilbert writes about. I think that's...
Absolutely. Just hold that whole notion of like, don't be afraid. I mean, of course we're going to be afraid. We're human, you know? So I've really connected to, that's okay. You can be afraid and you're still going to go do it.
And I think you said something really important, and I found it to be true, is that you're unable to really contribute on the level that you need to unless you're looking after yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so for you, what does self-care look like?
Well, my non-negotiables. I really had a very realistic conversation with myself and with my advisor about what I'm willing to compromise on and what I'm not. And certainly my relationship with my fiance is one of those that's at the top of the totem pole in terms of importance. My relationship to exercise and not putting it aside ever at all under any circumstances in this process. my commitment to my own health through my, you know, taking care of myself nutritionally, that has been something I've been up against a lot, because truly it impacts the way you feel, you know, what you put into your body. And I don't always, you know, I'm not like, I go to work out every week and I, you know, eat all these great foods and I never deviate away. I do. But it's just continuously coming back to that and acknowledging that there was a breakdown there and then making a new commitment. And yoga. You know, whether I actually go to a physical class with other people, which I much prefer than practicing on my own here at home, or if I practice, or if I lead a class, I lead to med students once in a while. So
I think that's amazing.
Thank you.
I think it's amazing. So if people want to follow you and they listen to this, where can they find you? What's your Insta handle?
So my Instagram handle is medical student yogi, and between medical student and yogi, between all those words, there is a, what's it called? A
underscore.
That's my Instagram. And then my Facebook is just Facebook, and then Marjan Kusha.
Marjan Kusha, my friend. Fuchsia's changing the medical industry and the landscape already. And she's going to be my doctor. I don't know what you're specializing in yet, but I'll be there.
Okay, let's do it. I don't know either. I'm thinking peds, so I don't know if I can help you too much there. But
what were you thinking?
Pediatrics, maybe.
But you keep changing it every time I talk to you.
All the time. Last month it was OB-GYN. This month it's GI. I don't know what it's going to be next month.
I love it. It's beautiful.